The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Philadelphia has been a home for Irish immigrants for generations, and today approximately 10% of the city has Irish roots, and one of those roots is Adele Howlin, communications consultant, former journalist, ex of our own parish in News Talk, and she joins us now this afternoon. Thank you for coming in to us, Adele. You are part of the Irish diaspora now, I guess. How? Let's start with Philly, because I know you've lived in Philly and you've lived in Houston. You've been here 18 years
yep.
in the US.
Yep.
How is it for the Irish in Philly?
Do you know, it's been really interesting coming to, when I went to Houston, I wasn't expecting it to be a really Irish city. And in lots of ways, it's not. There's a lot of older Irish who are like very much hanging on to their past. And then there's new Irish like me who are like straight, you know, kind of off the plane, living their life. They're there for work. And when I came to Philly, I felt like it would probably be the exact same way. And it really isn't. I was so pleasantly surprised. There's a Philadelphia Irish American Business Chamber network here, which is honestly like the heartbeat of the city. And I tapped right into that when I first arrived, and I met lots of Irish people, and I realized how many Irish people are connected across the city. And it's not just Irish people like, oh, you know, my generations, my grandparents, my great-great-grandparents. It's like people who are American, but they visit Ireland, they work with Ireland, they build relationships with Ireland. You know, we just had the Taoiseach here, like we had the Taoiseach here last year. It is a really, really Irish city. It's almost like, I kind of felt like it was like Dublin when I first arrived here. You know, I don't know if you guys got that when you're walking around, but it really reminds me of Dublin. It's small, it's easy to get around. It's gritty, and it feels like home. It's yeah. weird.
When you say gritty, what do you mean by that?
So that's a good question. Well, so first of all, Gritty is one of the mascots of the teams, of one of the Philadelphia teams of the, I hope I'm going to get this right, I think it's the Flyers. I'm not a big sports fan, so don't hold me to that. But it's just like, there's this, Philadelphia has like a real sense of self, right? It's kind of, you know, you're in Philly. You know, when people say things like, bagel or hoagie or wooder, you know, like the way they pronounce their words, there's a real strong personality. I don't know if you guys have heard this in the last couple of days and you've been here, but when teams win games, people will climb the poles, so they have to grease the poles to like stop them from doing it, because they'll hurt themselves, right? Like, and they're having accidents, but people are just so, like, they say they bleed green. Like, Philly is just such a strong personality compared to Houston, which is full of blow-ins. People are from everywhere, so it doesn't really have that sense of self. The teams don't really have that sense of self or personality.
Is it because it's one of the old bits of America? Relatively speaking, I know it's not quite as old as Washington or New York or Boston or whatever, but it is, you know, 1700s
yeah.
and all of that. So you can see the architecture, like there's old parts to this city. You sort of can see it. You can also see that it's a bit gritty too.
they call it Philadelphia as well. That's one of the words. Yeah.
But is it partly that it's old America? There's a funny thing, the only people go about old money and new money. Is there old America and new America?
Yes, I think that's a big part of it. Like, it's the East Coast, and people are in a hurry, you know, to get places. It's a bit like New York in that way, but friendlier because it's smaller. I think a big part of it too is that people don't leave. Like, people just don't leave Philadelphia. Like, where I live right now is a little area called Glenside, just outside the city. And there's actually, I brought you guys Barry's Tea because there's a local shop that sells Barry's Tea. And, you know, like, it's called O'Neill's. You know, we just had a St. Patrick's Day parade back in March, and 30,000 people showed up in my little town. Like, but people just don't leave the area. They don't want to leave. They love where they are. Even in my neighborhood, you know, the next generation moves in. So the family, the parents may pass on, it hands down to the kids. And that's kind of how it is. It just stays very much the same, which is why it's harder to kind of get your foot in the door as well.
We were chatting to some people on the street just doing voxes and so on. We met some really interesting people, but one of them was saying they thought Philadelphia, there was some challenges, and kind of similar to the challenges that are there in Ireland.
Sure.
He was saying hard to buy a house. He said you get a lot of people. He said we're getting a lot of people from New York who are priced out of New York who are coming to Philadelphia to live. And he was sort of saying a lot of gentrification. Mm-hmm. Now, mm-hmm. I mean, gentrification can be a good thing as well. It's not all negative. But do you find that? Is that an issue for people?
It is. So Philadelphia is one of the poorest, largest cities. Excuse me, in the United States, and that's what you're seeing. So it's not even like the cost is really high, but the cost is really high for what people are actually being paid here. And there is a huge issue of homelessness in the city as well. There's actually an Irish nun who's been trying to bring people in for a long time, Sister Mary Scullion. She's good friends with John Bon Jovi and Small World. I know they're looking, they're like, what? she has been really trying to kind of change the face of that. So it's just, there's a lot of poverty. There's a lot of poverty in this city. But it is like any city, you know, like what is out of your reach is out of your reach, no matter how expensive it is or how cheap it is.
Yeah, I did notice that because I was kind of walking around yesterday afternoon and there was a man curled up, skinny man, very unkempt man, curled up on the pavement, and as I walked by I thought probably asleep or
yep.
but when I, as I was walking away, I went, that man could be dead, and we're all walking by him. But I saw quite a number of people like that, and everyone kind of walking by, and I was sort of thinking about humanity and our humanity when you see somebody so down on their luck, I suppose. But at the same time, you can see in Philadelphia that this is a...
It's an issue.
It's an issue. It's not the only one I saw.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It is a big part of it. There's an area called Kensington, which is essentially an open-air drug market as well for the city. And, you know, it's just a lot of that came out of OxyContin and the opioid sort of epidemic. And there's a lot of pain in this city, and there's a lot of... you know, lack of opportunity as well. So you get to kind of see get a real sense of the city as you walk around it. And you know, part of the reason why homelessness is an issue is because, you know, people may end up in the street, and then the trauma they experience when they're out there, you know, that can obviously just continue.
Yeah, and actually we've been talking a little bit about that opiate issue a little bit earlier on the show today. Look, let's talk about some of the positives.
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking out of our 40th floor window, and there's a spectacular view. It is such a green city, though. That's the thing that really strikes me in terms of trees, plants.
It's a good-looking city, isn't it?
It is.
So the very first botanical garden landed here. In Philadelphia, Bartram's Garden. So it is the kind of, like they say that New Jersey is sort of the garden state, but Pennsylvania is the garden capital of the world. There's a place called Longwood Gardens, which they call it like Disney World for gardens. And that's kind of west of the city in Westchester. And it's just amazing. There was a guy who, he was a pharmaceutical kind of tycoon, got a lot of money, DuPont, you know, DuPont Chemicals, right? And he was an engineer, built these incredible fountains, has fountains running to music. Like, it's the most amazing display you'll ever see of a garden. It's so impressive. Monty Don even kind of came and did a tour around the United States, and he came to a bunch of places here in Philadelphia, and he came to like Rittenhouse Square, which is just in Philly. It's this beautiful green space. Like, there's so many spots that you can go to, and you know, there's so many green places you can visit.
You mentioned all the Irish Americans, those maybe who have like generationally are Irish American, but then the people like yourself, young Irish Americans who are living here, this is your home, but you are still Irish. Are the same number of people, do you think, coming now? Because it's much harder to get a visa to the US than it was. And you know, certainly for people like the undocumented, the Irish undocumented, it's a scarier place now, I would imagine, and a bit of a colder house.
Yeah, I mean, I think... It's interesting, right? Like, and I'm sure you guys feel it sort of where you visited, that America still has this draw. And I think part of that is part of the history and the legacy of the country, that people are still like, America is a really cool place. But you can see that, you know, it's a little worn around the edges at this stage. And it is harder. It is much harder. I mean, the one thing I will say, and I will kind of stand by this, having lived here for nearly 20 years and moved from city
sounding like you just moved here yesterday
stepped off the plane, that so much of opportunity is all about who you know. And you know, like, that is what I've experienced everywhere I've went, when it came to jobs and everything, and it came to if you really want to come here, come here, meet someone, get connected into the system. Opportunity is there. Like, it is an amazing country. Half of the things I've done living here, I never would have done if I hadn't kind of pulled myself out of Ireland, you know, and sort of taken on, like, here I go, I'm going to give this a try, let's see how what happens. It really is, you know, sort of this place of opportunity, but it's not as easy as it once was, okay. For sure.
Ciara mentioned you still have your Irish accent. What is the Philly accent like?
So Bradley Cooper does a really good version of it, and they would say things like, you're going down the shore, and hoagie is definitely one of them. Bagel, instead of saying bagel, it's yeah. Bagel. And wooder, so water is W-O-O-D-E-R.
I didn't know what wooder was. I was thinking, is that some kind of food?
It's water. So I don't know if anyone shared this with you. There is a word in Philly, which the equivalent in Ireland is yoke. Right? So yeah. A yoke is the yoke. Hand me the yoke. John. J-A-W-N is the Philly version of that.
So hand me the John.
Hand me the John. John means anything.
I've lost my John. Where
exactly,
is that John?
Exactly. Yeah. And so that is like a very Philly-only word. And oh, actually, sorry, before I jump off that, there's a thing called Irish potatoes that you get around St. Patrick's Day here. And I was here, my sister came to visit, and we were so excited. We went into this place and we thought, what kind of Irish potatoes do you have? Like, would we have an array of different types? They are cream cheese covered in cinnamon little rolls that kind of look like potatoes. It's the most disgusting. And coconut, most disgusting thing
I've
ever tasted.
They're like a dessert?
They're a dessert. And they're called Irish potatoes.
Is there any potato in there at all?
No.
I was so disappointed.
That doesn't sound that great to me.
No.
We've kind of touched on politics, but we haven't kind of jumped right in there. Sure. Is it something, I mean, Philadelphia is kind of a Democrat town.
Yes.
Like, is it something you avoid talking, do you talk about Trump or with friends, or is it just, oh, let's not go there?
Oh, no, a lot of people are really agitated, and a lot of people, like, you kind of know in your neighborhood who are Trump supporters, and even if they don't always have a sign, you know who they are. And a lot of people support him because they're lifelong Republicans, they're pro-choice, they're anti-abortion. So that's one of the reasons why people will stay very strongly in that camp. But you definitely do talk about it. You kind of know who is safe to talk to about it and who you don't, and because they just don't share the same views.
And on that note, we spoke to, we were out and about, you know, talking to people on the streets, and we asked about politics to them too, and they said, well, you know, it's okay to be of different views, and it's okay. They were very tolerant, kind of nice guys that we bumped into. But is it the case that people who vote Democrat are kind of friends with people who vote Democrat, and people who vote Republican are, like, you don't see mixed marriages, you don't see mixed friendship groups? Or is it not, because from the outside looking in, it looks very divided.
I think social media, right, and the internet and the news, right, will sort of lead you to think that. But I will tell you, and I think, you know, I get text messages from my friends in Ireland. I used to work at Icon in Dublin, and we have a little text thread, and they're like, what's going on in America? And because on the face of it, what you guys are hearing, it doesn't look pleasant at all. But I just kind of keep sharing with them. I was like, I'm not really seeing this in my neighborhood, even though I know who the Trump supporters are on my block.
Like, life goes on.
Life goes on. Well, people just get along, right? Like, you may not get along with someone because they're not a great neighbor, not because of who they support.
So not as divided.
Not from community to community. No.
So that line, you know, people, and I've heard some people say, you know, I couldn't live in America once Donald Trump became president.
Sure.
You're like, you don't have a lot of time for that. You're just like, you know, just get on with your life. Most people are still the same.
Yeah, I mean, I think a big part of it is, you know, America is such a huge country, right? It's essentially almost each state is like its own little country. It's a continent, right? So whenever anyone says America this or America that, you're like, you just don't know the people. Like, having lived here as long as I have now, I have a real sense of, you know, how people are. And people are the same the world over. There are good people. There are not so good people.
Is this home for you now?
Oh, that's a really tough question. That's a really tough question. It's hard. It's hard to pick, because I go back to Ireland and that feels like home. And this feels like home. I never thought it'd be possible to have two places feel like home, but I could never turn my back on either one.
But is there also, when you have two places that feel like home, is there a subtle level of neither place is home? Is that a thing that people have in the kind of expat diaspora community?
Yeah, I think you could certainly approach it that way. I think for me, it's more a case of like a little piece of me fits in there and a little piece of me fits in here, and then the whole of me doesn't really fit in anywhere. So I suppose that's probably true, right? But definitely, like, I can't do without Ireland and I can't do without America. I need to kind of have both of them to...
And is America very much Philadelphia for you?
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't leave Philly. I wouldn't even leave our neighbourhood. Like,
because you did live in Houston, so you moved before, and you've obviously left Ireland, so you've really moved before.
Yep.
But Philly, no.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't leave. Wow. It just is such a cool city. It's so friendly. It's so, you know, like, it's so easy to get around. Like, one of the things I thought about, I couldn't age in Houston because you have to drive everywhere. And I thought, I can age here because I can walk places. I can still walk to the corner store and get my milk and my newspaper or whatever I sound like, you know. But
that's pretty normal. It's a pretty normal reflections, I think.
It's nice. It's nice to be able to do that. So I think, I can't see us ever leaving here.
In terms of safety, because I was on the phone to home and I was saying, I'm going out for a walk or whatever. They're like, well, be careful. I don't know anything about Philly. It's coming from nowhere. Just be careful walking around. I have felt quite safe walking around. Is that an illusion of safety, or is Philly a reasonably safe city?
It is a safe city. Yeah, it really is. I mean, I used to come into the city every day when I worked at Project Home, the nonprofit that helped people experiencing homelessness, and we would go all kinds of places. And I felt safe everywhere I went. I really did. Yeah, I mean, you have to keep your wits about you like you do anywhere, right? But yeah, super safe.
Your mom and dad are over with you at the moment?
They are. My parents, Monica and Eamon, are over visiting for the next 2 weeks. We go, my niece's graduating from college, and then they go to visit my sister in Chicago. So.
And you have kids here in America?
I have a 14-year-old girl, Eloise.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. And are her Irish roots important to her?
Oh, my goodness. You should see her. So we go home every year. My husband, he grew up in London, but his family would go to Inch every year in Kerry. I don't know why I just said that, guys. I know you know where it is. I'm sorry.
But we do. But you know.
But just in case
it's fair.
No one knows where Inch is.
To be clear, that's the Inch we're referring to.
So we go there every year. His sister comes across with her family, and friends of ours come down. And she loves it. It is her happy place. And she talks about retiring to Ireland. So it's so funny that we've come so far. And she's like, no, I want to go to Ireland. So where she'll land, I don't know. But yeah, she definitely has a love for
I
Ireland.
Presume she has a little American accent.
Oh, she does, yeah. Although she says things like garage rather than garage. She's
that
definitely
must, that must
from
make
us.
You very proud.
So proud.
It must still be a little strange hearing, though, an American voice come out of your daughter. Do you know, is there a little bit of that or no?
No, I mean, I think because she, you know, she grew up in Houston. We spent about 6 years there of her life at least. And then the rest is obviously here. I think it's funny. She's a kind of exotic, I think, when we go back to Ireland as well. And she likes that, you know, she's the one American. Like, and when she hangs out with my brother and he's got twin girls. And suddenly there's this girl who she sounds American and she's hanging out with these Irish girls, you know, like it's just such a real mix of accents as well. Yeah. I think she kind of likes being the outlier there.
Okay. Well, listen, absolute pleasure talking to you.
You too.
Thank you so much for coming into us. Nice to get a kind of a flavor of the city from someone who... also worked in News Talk as well.
So. we end up everywhere. We have quite the diaspora of our own, I would suggest.
We do.
It's like coming home.
That's our lot for the week that was, Shane.
Yeah, what an amazing trip it was, Ciara.
Yeah, Ireland Gateway to Europe have, I think, covered themselves in glory this week. Amazing bunch of people doing incredible work on behalf of Ireland.
Not-for-profit really. Organisation, trying to build links between...
relationships, friendships... Yeah. Networks, business contacts, but kind of more than that, just fostering that friendship that when we were speaking to the Irish ambassador and she was talking about the friendship between our countries, it does still exist, it does still endure, it extends beyond anything to do with the politics of the current administration or anything like that, I think.
Yeah, we got to get, I think it was whistle stop, but we got a good sense, I think, of both Washington and Philadelphia.
We got to see extraordinary things. We got to meet extraordinary people. It's been a really a lot to process, actually, in the week, I think, because so much has happened and so much has gone on. So it has been, you know, look, it's been great. I've never worked in the States before. I've only ever been here as a tourist. And that was a little a little different too, I think.
Well, I have worked in the States, but it was in construction, so this is very different.
Oh, actually, I was a waitress. I forgot about that. Yeah. But look, it's been such a week. We are very grateful to Ireland Gateway to Europe for allowing us to tag along with them and to see so many things and meet so many people. It's been it's been awesome.
Okay, we're off to have a Philly steak.
We absolutely are.
And
yeah.
We will see you on Tuesday. Have a brilliant bank holiday weekend to our August Togabugay.
Absolutely. Have a good one, guys.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.